Now, child and adolescent psychotherapist Dr. Coleman Nochter joins me to answer your parenting questions. And if you have anything that you'd like to run past Coleman, please email the show, ray@rte.ie, text 51551 or WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32 for some free expert advice. So, how are you?
Good, warm.
To see you. Yeah, it's nice and warm.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's really pleasant.
So you're writing today in the Irish Examiner about anxious teens returning to school. And you have some suggested strategies that can help support them. I, with my sister and my nieces, and I remember my sister's birthday was the 1st of September. Oh. What a cruel birthday, right? So her birthday was the first day back at school. I always think, cast your mind back to what you felt like going back to school, right? And it was such a dread because you've come out of such a lovely period in your adolescence, childhood. You've been off for all this time. The mere mention, you write, school can cause a strong reaction from teens now.
Yeah, and that's not new. I can remember, wasn't it Morris Pratt from Quinsworth used to come on with the back to school things, and that poor man had an awful association for me. But we talk, obviously you're getting new uniforms, the new shoes, everyone's, that start of chat is starting around this time. And that's always been difficult. But I think the struggle for young people, I just think the school environment has become so much more competitive, so much more stressful, so much more expectation. We've all the stuff like social media, all that sort of stuff coming into play as well. I would say proportionately you're seeing a lot more young people being anxious about returning to school or struggling to attend school. We see school avoidance numbers off the charts over recent years. Maybe since COVID that has been a problem too. But
is school avoidance the new way of saying truancy, or what we'd call it on the hop? Or,
not truancy, but almost used to be called school refusal. So not going to school, like finding it that difficult that they can't go in. Yeah, that's I suppose with the lockdowns that we had and all that sort of the schooling from home and emergency schooling and all that sort of stuff, there has been a residue of that for sure. But I think there's, the school attendance is a symptom of other things. I think as a community, and there's a lot more expectations on kids across the board, from sport to academics to everything else. Like, when I was doing Leaving Cert, like 380 points would be a very good Leaving Cert in the 90s, whereas now the bar is for some reason like 400 and 500 and all that. And there's no reason why that's going up other than expectation. Do you know?
Wow.
And I would always use the example of grinds. Like, I would have gone to grinds because I was about to fail pass maths. People are going to grinds and
To excel.
So you have all of that going
in. That's such a great comparison. It's exactly why you did grinds, because you were rubbish at it.
Yeah. Whereas, and now we're going to grind schools and all that sort of stuff over Easter to do extra courses and all that. So there's that expectation. I think the social environment in school with kind of social media, things like that, has made the competitive, what many followers you have, what labels you have, how cool you are, the popularity stakes is high and contentious for lots of young people. When a child is struggling to go to school, it's either the work, either the academic side of it is too pressured, it's the people, so they don't get on with either the peers or teachers, which can happen, or the place, the rigidity of school and having to sit for 7 hours and do all of those things has always been difficult, but remains difficult for young people. So trying to understand why a young person might be nervous about going back to school, I would always say the best approach you can have as a parent is be curious, rather than being, everyone did it, cop yourself on, just go in, that sort of stuff. It's finding out maybe what they might be worried about.
So I think that's key. So there was a slight, just watching my niece and nephew, and they're very different in their approach, actually. It's kind of bizarre to watch two children who are reared in the same house be so different. And my niece kind of looks forward to the new books and the new shoes and just a change, because the summer has been long. And then my nephew would kind of dread it a little bit, just wasn't as into it. I suppose even though they're adolescents or teenagers or young teenagers or tweens, they're different people as well. So they're coming at it with different anxieties, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. And everyone has a kind of an individual relationship with it. I mean, there's an argument that school is more suited to girls than boys.
Really?
Yeah. There's the idea of having to sit for a long time and organisation being kind of rewarded for being, neat and tidy and those sorts of things can be, there's issues around, whether we should have more movement in schools, that children should be able to move around. It's one of the things we learned from returning from the lockdowns, that the movement breaks really helped kids activate their brains and be able to do that. The novelty of the new books and the news, that's lovely for the first week or so. It sometimes wears off. But for some children, that sends a chill. The idea of, because they love it, like being off, there's all of that stress. And what I tell you, like I've worked in child mental health services for decades. There's peaks in the referrals. They're always August, September, huge. January is huge.
June. This is definitely related to going back to school.
Oh, yeah. And you can see it. It's absolutely related to the calendar. Over the summer period, the referrals fall off, you know, significantly. And for that reason, a lot of young people say if you have an underlying difficulty, if you're a bit anxious or if you've had a mood problem before or if you've eating disorder or something like that, going back into the melting pot and trying to cope and trying to manage that can be really challenging and really difficult. And, you know, again, like, I see some parents are saying, like, she does really well or he does really well. I don't understand why, because their grades are okay. But if you're in a group of peers who are high flyers and getting A's and everything, suddenly your B doesn't feel enough and all of that sort of stuff. So, I would have said before, we would have seen the anxiety around state exams. Now we can kind of see it around, you know, people stressing about a Christmas geography test in second year. Do you know what I mean? So the levels of anxiety and worry and the importance placed on school is significantly different in the last decade than it would have been before that.
Wow. Mm. It just sounds like a lot of pressure. So I suppose that there are practical measures parents can take now, just as it's coming up to the window. We can't, the Maurice Pratt ad may not be on anymore, but there's lots of back to school ads.
There is.
Capture that first moment, ads and everything. So it's like the first time you see a Christmas ad, you're like, oh no, you know, yeah. in the end of October. So what can people start to do? Because we're not going to get away from it. It's happening.
No, and there's no stopping it. As I say, be curious, find out what they're stressing about. And so for girls, they might be very able to articulate what they're stressing about. Boys are like, oh, school's stupid and it's only a memory test, and they'll try and, you know, defend it a little bit or just get irritable. But try and pick under the surface and try and find out what it is. Is it the people? Is it the place? If it is the work, sometimes it's just about saying, well, do you want me to talk to some of the teachers that you're struggling in certain subjects or get you a little bit of support around that? The big thing is, and the big temptation is to leave it until the last day of August and then say school tomorrow. But in actual fact, kind of recalibrating the structure, like trying to get a bit of the bedtime routine back paired from now, you know, you want this to be a kind of a weaning back, not a shock to the system.
Okay.
And anxiety, a lot of anxiety is about uncertainty. That's what anxiety is, a fear of the unknown. So if you can...
Because they're going to a new year, they're going to a new level of stress, they think, and it's going to be hard.
New teachers, new teachers, subjects, yeah. Whatever it might be. So you're trying to say, look, and I would say, you know, I always use the example of, you know, a parent, like you're sitting on a roller coaster. Like, say, I don't know what's up here. I don't know whether it could get scary. But all I can guarantee is that I'm going to be here with you. And like, your presence is that steady presence of, like, because you can't promise everything's going to be okay. Week one, they could have a bullying incident and it's all. And you said, you know, so it's not, that's probably not the approach, but saying, whatever happens, we've got this, you know, yeah. I'll help you with it. I'll, you know, if there is a bullying incident, which I can say has significant long-term effects if you let that go, you know, as a parent, I would say, you know, have a path worn to the school until that resolves, because that is something you need to get on top of and not let that slide. And again, you know, other things like the academics, you can put a bit of support in place around that. Trying to get them into a bit of a routine would help as well. But it's almost like over the first few weeks, watching how they're settling in, because sometimes it is just the start. You know, the hardest part of going to the gym is getting from the couch to the car. Once you're in, it could be okay. But it's gentle check-ins while they're in there. Will help, you know, because you'll be able to keep an eye on how they're doing.
I have a few lovely advice. Thank you so much. And not scary. Nice. I have a few questions from listeners. So new childminder, hi Coleman, my childminder of 8 years is retiring in 5 weeks' time. She did not mind any other children, only my own, age 9 and 4. I have another childminder organised. What should I tell them? My son, who is 4, is not good at change, and I'm wondering how I can make this transition easier for them.
Well, if the question is when should you tell them, it's now. You know, and that's a very quick answer. I've never had a kid argue in therapy that they were told too much. I've had plenty saying that they told too little. So
really, really strong. Yeah.
It's always about giving more information and allow them to say goodbye and allow them to process that a little bit. You know, if it's retiring, there's no reason, she's not leaving them. You know, she's making a choice for her own life, and that's nice, you know, from that point of view. But maybe getting their heads around whoever's taking over from her and getting them to meet them even before that start would help. And transitions are difficult. We can't avoid change. You know, change is growth. And we all feel vulnerable in change. It doesn't matter if you're 4 or 40 or 84.
Do you think our generation has an instinct to overprotect children from disappointment? because we can. And you, and when you're not, if you just give them the information, they can make their own choice around it, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, I think we have, and again, that's the kind of snowplow parenting, helicopter parenting that we try. And, you know, we have this idea that being mentally healthy is having no adversity in your life. That's not what it is. Being mentally healthy is being able to cope with the adversity that inevitably comes.
Yeah.
So rather than trying to spare your child any difficulty, it's about accompanying them through the things like the disappointment or the failure or the letdown and coaching them through it. I mean, that's how you raise resilient children, not by having, you know, clearing the road for them all the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, very much so. Hi Coleman, my 7-year-old girl has recently become super anxious after watching a cartoon that depicted a character projectile vomiting. She's finding it hard to get the thought of it being sick out of her mind. She's become reluctant to eat with the fear she'll get sick. She cries at the drop of a hat when she remembers a scene. Please help, I've no idea what the right way to handle this. Well, that sounds harsh.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
What I'd say is you're not on your own. This is almost like a rite of passage around that age.
Is it?
Yeah. 7 is the age of reason. So you're starting to see that things have consequences. And what a child at that age is trying to get their head around is permanency, that things could change and not change back. They're just starting to realise that, if that makes sense. So it's a big moment in their lives. So oftentimes they'll get a fear of going asleep and not waking up,
or
a fear of choking or a fear of vomiting. So I wouldn't get over, I would see that that's a signpost to a problem. That's probably not the problem. So give an explanation of how movies are made, that this is out of someone's imagination, it's a drawing or whatever the case may be, and leave it at that. And then try and just reassure them about other things in their lives, that nothing's going to change. We live here, we're staying here, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, from the point of view of just settling down that level of anxiety. And again, see it as a signpost to the problem rather than the problem itself. The more you can kind of get embroiled in this narrative around that all the time, sometimes the more of an issue you can make of it.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Now, obviously, there's a small percentage of children who develop obsessive issues down the line, and if it's not kind of coming right over a month or two, then maybe look to something at that point. But for this, I would see this as very, very common around this age group, and it is a kind of a developmental rite of passage to try and overcome that, and 95% of them do.
Fascinating. Really, and that was great advice. Thank you so much, Dr. Coleman. Doctor, thank you so much for taking our questions today. That's it for today. Claire Brooke and Cormac O'Hara are on Drive Time. Have a lovely evening and enjoy the meteor shower. See you tomorrow.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.